Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in to the next chapter, Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. Tonight we have a special guest, but first let me read our scripture, Honor Widows That Are Widows Indeed. That's coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. I am Mary Hollis, your host, and we have a special guest tonight, and I know you all going to enjoy him. Reverend Dr. Brian Jones. I'm going to read a short bio of him, and we're going to bring him on because I want him to talk to us and give us all the good information that he has ready for us for tonight. Reverend Dr. Brian Jones, he is the executive director and founder of the Joshua Generation Care and Consulting Services, LLC, in Atlanta, Georgia, and the founder of the Foundation for Therapeutic and Spiritual Empowerment Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit which serves the community by providing affordable mental health services, mental health awareness, and mental health education. Dr. Jones is a licensed professional counselor and an ordained minister, a board-certified clinical chaplain, and a clinical pastoral education supervisor. Reverend Jones is the radio host of his own show, Therapeutic Conversation Show, which discusses mental health and spirituality. Dr. Jones has also recently featured as a guest on several shows discussing mental health, spirituality, and wellness. Dr. Jones is passionate about helping God's people through mental health, spirituality, and empowerment. Well, I will bring Dr. Jones on. Good afternoon, yes. Dr. Jones.
Good afternoon to you, Ms. Hollis. Thank you for the invitation to just speak to to come on your show and to just offer support. I just think it's awesome what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
And your ministry. So I want to go ahead and get started then, since I know you're limited on time, and you just played one of my favorite songs as well that kind of messed me up. Powerful song that you played to just talk about it. But what I want to start off with, I'm Reverend Dr. Brian Jones. I am the executive director of the Joshua Generation Care and Consulting Services here in Atlanta. And I do a lot of work one of my specialties in my practice is dealing with loss and grief. And I did many years in chaplaincy, and I was a director support service director of a hospice. And I've experienced a lot, thousands and thousands of transitions is the word I use for death, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But anyway, to make a long story short, I saw a lot of people really having major trouble and challenges in dealing with transitions. I do see it from a church perspective that a lot of people are challenged. And the first thing I kind of want to bring up, and just, you know, for conversation purposes too, but educational purposes, is that, you know, when we talk about the church, a lot of times we talk about people going to heaven. We talk about heaven all the time. You know, it's going to be a better place. We want to, you know, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk down the streets of gold and all these things. But I said this some years ago, and I'm still saying this, we don't want to talk about death. We don't want to talk about transition. We don't want to talk about loss. And so a lot of my training has been dealing with that. So first thing is, as we're talking about it on this show, I want to talk about grief and what is grief. And I know you've been doing this for many years, so you probably already have definitions for grief, but I want to kind of give my own definition for what grief is. Basically, a working definition I want to use for this talk is talking about how people react to a loss. So any kind of reaction to grief is, or any kind of reaction to a loss is a grief, all right? So anytime, you know, however we react to anything, and loss could mean a physical loss, a transition. It could also mean a social loss. You know, sometimes people move and they experience those type of loss. A loss could, for some people, could be a divorce, any kind of, you know, change, changing jobs, and also, and so anything that's dealing with how we react to a loss is, we use the word grief. And then there's another term that a lot of people use, and we call it mourning, all right? And so if someone is mourning, it's whatever they do, because grief happens on the inside of us. But whatever is displayed on the outside of us is how you mourn something, all right? So it's whatever their feelings is and however it is expressed outside of yourself has to do with the mourning. And I think a lot of times we got to get comfortable with talking about those things, and a lot of times we don't talk about physical transitions and physical death. We think that we're going to live forever, and unfortunately with this coronavirus and things like that, people are dying suddenly. They're dying, you know, rapidly and without warning. You know, if people have been sick for a long time, a lot of times people do, you know, they have their own, you kind of can almost prepare yourself as much as you can for that transition. But the way we're seeing it now in this pandemic that we are in with the coronavirus, people are just dying, and then people are not able to even have funerals the way that we've been having funerals. And so people have been really suffering and not able to really put closure, you know, a funeral or a memorial service and things of that nature. And so we're really in a place where we really need to be talking and dealing with loss, dealing with grief, and not be afraid to talk about those things, okay? So grief, is how we react to the loss, and then how we mourn is what comes outside of that. How do we express it? And so the first thing I want to say is that anybody who's going through a grief or loss, you got to first figure out what this is about. You got to be able to voice your feelings about how you feel, and what I call in counseling, get to what we call the core emotions, of how you really feel in this grief or in this loss. Now, there's a guy, his name is Alan Wolfelt, Alan D, W-O-L-F-E-L-T, that's Alan D. I'm going to spell his last name again, W-O-L-F-E-L-T. And he has a book out. He has several books. I guess he has a whole training series, too, and just some wonderful books. But this book I'm going to be kind of referencing is called Companioning The Bereaved, and it's a soul guide for caregivers. And you can get it on Amazon and other bookstores, but it's Companioning the Bereaved, and it's a soul guide for caregivers. And basically what he talks about is that anybody who's going through bereavement, that we have to learn how to companion them instead of just telling them how to grieve. Because everybody, number one, grieves differently. And we have to be careful of the language that we use a lot of times, even in a loss, in a death, in a transition. Because a lot of times we tiptoe around the word, or at a funeral, we kind of tiptoe. And even in the church, what I see a lot of times is even ministers don't know how to deal with grief and loss. Even at funerals, I can tell by eulogies that we give a lot of times. And, you know, we're just afraid to really talk about it. And we are really afraid to also celebrate that person's life. And that's a whole nother story. And then people come up to people that have transitioned and that are going through bereavement. And we just say all kinds of things out of our mouths. We'll say, oh, they're in a better place, or stop crying. We tell people to stop that crying. Don't cry over things. And I just think we got to really develop a whole culture of what I call care ministry, you know, where we're being more sensitive and we're not trying to explain things. I think even in this coronavirus pandemic that we're going through, we don't have to explain everything. We don't have all the answers. And sometimes we have to teach people to just be present, to listen, you know, to walk slow, walk with care, you know, knowing that people are really going through what we call trauma. Death can bring traumatic experiences for people as those changes happen. Now, what Dr. Wolfelt talks about in his book, he talks about that there are six central needs of anybody who's mourning. All right, six central needs of anybody who's mourning. And I want to share those six briefly while we have time. The first part of central needs of anyone who's going through bereavement or mourning a grief or loss or experiencing a grief or loss, number one, he says, is that they have to acknowledge the reality of death. And that is something that a lot of times culturally, spiritually, we don't really want to do. We don't really want to acknowledge that there has been a transition and that I'm maybe at this moment, I'm not okay with it because it's my, you know, it's a transition of a loved one, a friend, somebody who was here today and tomorrow they're, you know, transition. So first thing is that we got to be aware of is that we have to acknowledge the reality of death. That's what he invites us to consider. All right. Secondly, he you know, these are, as I said, the six central needs of mourning. The second one is to feel the pain of the loss. And feeling that pain could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be cognitive. That means in your thinking process. It could be social, all right? And it also could be spiritual, you know, as we're dealing with that feeling of that pain, you know, but they can first acknowledge the reality of death, finding ways to work with it and not run from it, all right? And then secondly, he says to feel the pain of loss, that it's okay to feel, you know, and that's what we got to really help people that are in churches and spiritual communities, that it's okay to have feelings. It's okay to not be okay for a moment. You know, that doesn't mean it's a lack of faith. It doesn't mean that God isn't moving. It doesn't mean God is not good. It doesn't mean any of that. Just because you feel something, you feel a loss. And sometimes you'd be surprised that even in our feelings, God has a way of teaching us and showing us some things, even in our feelings. So pay attention to your feelings during that time. Third part of the central needs of mourning, he states, is that he says to remember the person who died. And there's an African proverb said, as long as we keep on calling the name of the person, they're always going to be remembered. They're always going to be present. They're always going to be there. And it's okay to do things. It's okay to do services and memorials and different things to keep that remembrance of them. It's not, you don't have to run from it and say, oh, I'm just going to but especially holidays and birthdays and special days sometimes can be difficult. And it's okay to express that. It's okay to prepare yourself to say, okay, Christmas, you know, I know last year I had a rough time. This year, let me see what I can do to prepare myself for that. But remembering the person who died. All right. The next thing that he invites us to think about is to develop a new self-identity, to develop a new self-identity. And some people call it reframing and renaming and reviving and re-examining and refocusing your life after a loss or a transition or any kind of grief, that you have to look at a new identity, a new way of being. And, you know, something I want to share real quick, too, is the fact that a lot of people that I've experienced with death, helping them to process death and to work in the areas of bereavement, a lot of times the caregiver feels relieved after that person has transitioned, and they feel guilty about it.
Exactly.
And I've helped a lot of people talk about that because, you know, caregiving is hard. Caregiving is a challenge, and it can be difficult, you know, and it's okay to feel relieved that they are resting or that they're in another, you know, whatever your belief system is, but it's okay to take a break and go on vacation once that, you know, because caregiving can be difficult, and it's okay, but you're developing a new self-identity. The next thing that he said of these six things, and this is the fifth one, is search for meaning. And that's what I think reflection does. I think that's what meditation does. You know, that means sitting still and going within and letting God speak to you and work with you. It's okay to search for meaning. It doesn't mean like, why did this happen? It's like, what am I to learn from it? That is the goal of searching for meaning, is not why did this happen to me, God, all the time, because we ask the why questions. But we should ask, what are we here to learn? What are you showing me? What is this, you know, about? You know, what do I need to see that I'm missing? All right, and transitions and death and grief can definitely bring some of those things out. And then the last thing that he talks about is to receive ongoing support from others. And that means have a support system. You know, have somebody you can call. Go and get counseling. There's nothing wrong with going and getting counseling. And even during this time, because people are experiencing loss of a job, people are experiencing loss, you know, we don't know what the future holds. People are experiencing physical transitions, emotional loss during this time, all kinds of stuff. We are isolated. That brings on depression and anxiety and all kinds of different things that are going on. And so we just need to pay attention to those things. So I'm just going to go over these six things to make sure we got it. First was acknowledge the reality of death. Secondly was to feel the pain of loss. Third was to remember the person who died. And fourth was to develop a new sense or a new self-identity. Fifth was to search for meaning. And the last one, the sixth one, was to receive ongoing support and treatment. And that's what you are doing on this show is supporting people that have experienced loss, and I think it's wonderful. And then the last part as I close is dealing with these stages of grief. Now, this is not like the Bible, we're going to follow every stage, because you can be in all kinds of different what we call complicated grief stages. But anyway, part of the grief, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she wrote a book a book entitled On Death and Dying, and she talks about their five stages of grief, and people have taken that and ran with it and things of that nature, but I do want to share it. First stage is denial and isolation, and so that is what we experience sometimes, denial and isolation. Secondly is anger. We're angry. Sometimes we're bargaining. If I had did this right, maybe I should have cared for them a little bit more. Maybe I should have called them when I needed to call them. That's the third stage of bargaining. The fourth one is depression. So sometimes we go through those depressive moods, those depressive times, and all of that in the stages of grief. And fourth is dealing with acceptance, that we just accept things, and we're at a place where we reframing, renaming, we're coming up with a new self-identity, a new way to look at life. And the last thing is hope, that we in a hopeful stage, okay? I think I can make it a little longer in all of those things. And those things, as I said, are not, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I mean, you could be going through all kinds of several stages at several parts in your life. And so those things are very important. So I just wanted to share that, and hopefully that was helpful enough for you all to get some information. But also, in closing, the last thing, you really need to get help and support. And I know I'm a licensed professional counselor here in Georgia, and I definitely will give you my information at the end to be able to reach out to myself and my practice. I have a full staff that is able and that, you know, are working toward license or licensed professionals that be able to help people. And what separates my practice from a lot of other practices is that we do focus on the spiritual needs of the client or of the person that comes in. That's what we do differently than some of these other practices. If people need that, you don't have to be in church and all of that just to come to our practice. But if that's what you are comfortable with, that's your belief system, we do support those things and we do help people in that process, mind, body, and spirit. Okay? All right. Ms. Holland, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Dr. Jones. Oh, yes.
I know I gave a whole lot of information.
Right, but I wrote them down. And I'm not going to repeat them because you repeated them already.
I want to mention
the name of the book again so they can, if someone came on later, they can get the book. The name of the author. And there are several things I would like for you to do. This is, I mean, really, all of these, the six things are just great because this book will definitely help. There's another book that they can get to read to help them get through their journey of grief. And these are great points that was indicated that you got from the book. But I want you to mention that as well. Also wanted to mention something, too. Because of the time is very close to the end of the show. But you mentioned at the very beginning that so many, what I'm dealing with myself too, I've been praying for these individuals, these family who have lost a loved one. First, they couldn't be there with the loved one. And the next thing, they die, and they still can't be when they can't bury them in the way that they want to bury them. So I really feel that they're going to have more problems with grief when this is all over because there was no closure. And
correct.
All these different things that they're going to be thinking about. I didn't bury him the way that I wanted to, or her, or whatever. You know, you didn't have the last moment of saying I love you, bye, goodbye, or whatever. These are going to be all these questions and concerns that's going to come up later when this is all over because I've been praying for these people who are going to need help. They're going to need counseling. They're going to need people there to help them. So if you have family members or friends or anyone that is going through this now, please be there for them. Please, and after this is all over, they're going to need your help to get through this because this is so different. This is so different.
It's going to take a village. It's going to take a village to help people.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to take a lot, you know, and it's a lot. And as you said, and that's what we call in grief, that complicated grief, that layers of grief, you know, because then you can't even, and then even while the person is sometimes, you know, having some challenges, some physical challenges and the disease or whatever that's going on, they then can't even be in the room with them.
Right, exactly.
That's another layer, too, of it. And then that adds guilt, and it causes more depression for people, and it causes people to even have more grief, you know, or the levels or the intensity of grief and trauma, you know, because they're not able to be present with them or have a funeral or be there to support their loved ones.
Exactly. So it's really going to be this country. It's going to need a lot of healing after all of this.
Correct.
This is over.
Yeah. All right. Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and mention the book.
Mention the book and also your email and your telephone number if they want to contact you.
Sure. It's Companioning the Bereaved. And it's a soul guide for caregivers, and it's Alan, A-L-A-N-D, Wolfert, Wolfert. And you can just Google him. He has all kinds of things, all kinds of things on the website. But this book that I was quoting is really like one of ones that I really teach from and really go back to as a reference. So that's one book. There's also another book by a colleague of mine called Spiritual Care to the Elderly and Dying Loved Ones. That's Spiritual Care to the Elderly and Dying Loved Ones. His name is Kevin Quiles, Q-U-I-L-E-S. That's Kevin Quiles, Quiles. And he's a colleague and a good friend of mine, and he wrote a book called Spiritual Care to the Elderly and Dying Loved Ones. And then the last book that I quoted was on death and dying, and it's Elizabeth Kubler, K-U-B-L-E-R, hyphen Ross. That's K-U-B-L-E-R, Ross, Elizabeth Kubler Ross. And she is, you know, that's a classic when it's talking about death and dying in those stages of grief. And then how people can reach me, I am, as I said, the executive director of the Joshua Generation Care and Consultant Services. You can Google us, the Joshua Generation LLC here in Atlanta, Georgia, or the Joshua Generation Care and Consultant Services is the full name. You can also find us on Facebook. And our phone number is 470-545-2297. That's 470-545-2297. And we'll gladly be able to support you in any way that we can support you. And we are a mental health facility practice that offers mental health services, and we take most insurance and many EAPs, which is employee assistance programs through people's jobs, and so that's very important. And we will be having, just follow us on our website, because we will be having an empowerment group really called Managing Stress, Fear, and Anxiety Using Faith, is what we did when I met you a few weeks ago.
Yes.
But we're going to be just talking about managing stress, fear, and anxiety, and it's going to be a free online group on Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. So just continue to look out on Facebook, like us on Facebook, share the things that, you know, that we're doing on Facebook. And then I am going to be starting my show pretty soon, talking, you know, with the Therapeutic Conversation Show, which we talk about mental health, spirituality, and empowerment. I also do Mental Health First Aid USA. That's another one where you can understand things about mental health. And I'm also doing clinical pathway education training. I'm going to be starting a new unit pretty soon, you know, once we kind of figure out where we are with all of this social distancing and this coronavirus. And then I'm going to be also offering people that have clinical pathway education units and interested in supervisory education, I'm also going to be supporting that and also putting together a group on that. And then the last thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about trauma. I'm going to be doing some support groups and some training groups on how to help people. We got to train people how to prepare people for grief, working with their own grief, but also you got to be trained a lot of times to be able to help people effectively in their grief journey. So that's what we're going to be doing. And please support my nonprofit. You can reach us at www.spiritual-empowerment.org. And right on the Joshua Generation website, you can definitely donate, because we are trying to offer free services, especially for persons that have lost their jobs and things like that. And that's a cost, definitely, that we're giving to the community. But definitely, we're 501c3, and please support us with that. And then also, if you're outside of the Georgia, you can also do Grief Shares is another one that you can Google. And there's a lot of
I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, Dr. Jones. Oh, you're familiar with Grief Shared?
Almost at the end.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, they're familiar with the Grief Share. By the way, I am one of the participants here as well.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes.
But thank you so much for just the invitation. And just reach out to us. As I said, our phone number is 470-545-2297, and the Joshua Generation's website is www.joshua-generation.net. Okay?
Okay. Everyone, if you want to get more information, I do have that information as far as his website and telephone number and so forth. You can contact me. And sorry, the time is up. But thank you so much, Dr. Jones. You've given us a whole lot of information, and I can see why you are connected with Pastor Haynes. You guys
yes,
have
Dr. Herman
too many
Haynes
hats
at Greater Piney Grove.
Too many hats.
Yes. So I appreciate you, and thank you for the opportunity. And I encourage you in on your ministry. I just think it's awesome. You've been doing this for many years. You said almost 20 years. I just think it's awesome in doing this work, and I just it's so needed. And thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you so much. It's been you have really, gave us a whole lot of good information that we can use to help our widows to walk this journey of grief. And thank you so much for a wonderful invitation.
Bless you all.
And I hope
thank
that one
you.
Day we can call you again to come back on and feed us some more.
Yes, I would love to come back and support. And I also have other counselors that could come on, too, and talk, too, and share more. So we would love to offer that and support that, okay? God
bless.
Wonderful,
wonderful. And we'll see what we can do for supporting your ministry as well. And thanks again.
Thank you.
And be blessed and be safe, everyone.
Yes,
God loves you all.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right.
And may God be with you.
Same here to you. Thank you so much again.
All right.
And all
thank
of you, please,
thank you.
You too, keep your distance and also really shelter's in place now. So let us all be careful and continue to pray for each other. This is the end of our show, and thank you so much for everything. And be blessed and have a great Easter, I guess, and shelter in place. I am going to play Travis Green.
That you